Coming up this hour, we'll make our pick for tonight's big playoff game between the Minnesota Vikings and the Los Angeles Rams from Glendale, Arizona. And you'll hear from Deion Sanders, who is pretty honest about the future he envisions for Shador Sanders. But right now, it is Cinco.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything, everywhere, and by Mercedes-Benz of Morristown. Visit us online at 888thebenz.com. All right, it was a fun but uninspiring weekend of football, but I still think the topic of conversation was quarterbacks, and we've been talking about quarterbacks and all that. So I'm here to give you what I think, after watching this weekend and watching this year, are the five best quarterbacks that exist in the NFL that have yet to win a Super Bowl. And what I noticed with this exercise, plenty still playing.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Here we go!
Number five.
The fifth best ringless quarterback in the NFL is Justin Herbert. And I think if we get to the point where he doesn't win a playoff game next year, he's going to start hearing the nonsense as he could.
I mean, shouldn't he be hearing it now?
He should be, but nobody cares.
It's amazing how Justin Herbert escapes the heavy quarterback criticism saved for others.
It's very easy to explain why. It has nothing to do with that he's a white quarterback who's making $50 million a year.
That may have a little bit to do with it.
They have zero fan base. We did a game last year in Los Angeles, and Justin, because he's tight with Matt Ryan, had a conversation with them, and they were saying, it's like we're on the road every home game.
Oh.
We have to go on silent count at home because the fans don't come.
I love how the NFL just ignores that this is an issue.
There is nobody screaming.
Well,
because they get blown out in the first round.
Just to answer your point, Sean, it's not an issue if they're selling all the tickets. It's a business. It's a bottom line business.
But think about other cities.
Fan base. There's other things that come with having a fan base.
Right.
Like, obviously the ticket sales, but merchandising, other events, just association, like claiming that team. It just doesn't exist.
Well, they should be in San Diego.
Of course they should.
They are a San Diego football team.
The Raiders left Oakland and go to Vegas. Their fans are still there.
Yeah.
Right? They still travel. They still want to be a part of it. San Diego Charger fans want nothing to do.
No, that's why it was a huge mistake. I wonder if they ever fix the mistake and go back to San Diego. They get a brand new stadium and they break the lease and they go back to San Diego. Would fans accept? Yes, it was all about the stadium. Would the fans accept it and start kind of bring them in their bosom again?
I think so. I think the reason they got mad is that they left for the money or whatever.
And they went to the wrong city. They went to L.A. People in San Diego do not like Los Angeles.
But they didn't even fill the 30,000-seat soccer stadium that they played in. Remember that one?
Yeah.
I forget where that was.
That's right. The Galaxy played.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
They didn't even come to that one.
Mm. If they ever went back to San Diego and the Chargers were looking to retire Justin Herbert's number, it'd be a no-go. He's an L.A. Charger, not a San Diego one. All right, here we go.
Number four.
Jared Goff, who might be the most underrated and underappreciated quarterback in the last 10 years, still Super Bowl-less, and his life would look a lot different with one, right?
And listen, this is the year
to get
it. Do
you think he's good enough to qualify as one of the five?
Yeah, I think he's a hell of a quarterback.
Okay. All right. And he's already been to a Super Bowl.
Right. Yes.
By the way, notice I made him a better quarterback than Justin Herbert.
Number three.
Well, I think he is a better quarterback than Justin Herbert.
Okay, good. All right. So I thought that was controversial.
No, not even a question.
I think it'd be controversial if you said it the other way.
Okay. Well, my number three best quarterback in the NFL right now to yet to win a Super Bowl, Jaden Daniels. I don't care that it's his rookie year.
What are you talking about?
Bro, no. It's not a knock on him. I'm showing you how good he is.
I'm just trying to think of who you're shorting.
Well, I'm not going to. The first two are going to be obvious. My point is, I think Jaden Daniels is already like a top eight quarterback
in the
NFL.
I think he's shorting C.J. Stroud, who 2 years into his NFL career has already won playoff games in both of those years. Something that guys not named Mark Sanchez don't normally accomplish.
Yeah, Schmack Sprescott, too, is not going to be on this list. Okay, here we go.
Number two.
The number two best quarterback in the NFL without yet to win a Super Bowl is Josh Allen. Making throws, he didn't make those first two throws. I mean, obviously his career is completely different if he finally gets the one, but number two for me. And number one.
Yeah. Number one.
It's Lamar Jackson. After this weekend, if not now, when? With Derrick Henry by your side, I'm so ready for the Lamar Jackson. I'm tired of arguing about Lamar Jackson.
Hold on. Can I say something that maybe you've already realized, but it's kind of funny to think about?
Uh-huh.
Think about the quarterbacks who've won Super Bowls. Pat Mahomes, Matthew Stafford, who just certainly has his own little mountain.
And they had a team built to win a Super Bowl.
Right. Pat Mahomes, Tom Brady, who's not in the league anymore, Nick Foles, who's not in the league anymore, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning. I mean, who's in the league that's won a Super Bowl at quarterback?
So
it's
Evan,
a very short list.
Evan, I didn't think of it that way, and I didn't go through lists of the way. It was more an exercise because we've been debating what elite quarterbacks mean and Super Bowls and all of that.
I look at it differently because I look at the guys, and the two that you just, the last two, the top two, are blocked. Because of Pat Mahomes.
They don't have to be, though.
Well, we'll find out this year.
Burrow beat him. One of these guys finally has to beat him.
I mean, barely.
But a win's a win.
Yes, barely.
And I'm starting to lean towards if a team's going to do it. Here's the way I view it. This Raven-Bill game coming up this weekend, and we all can't wait to watch. Who do I view as the team that will beat the Chiefs or has a chance to? I don't think the Bills will. I think they already beat them in the regular season.
I think the Ravens have a better chance?
I think the Ravens have a better chance. I'm rooting for the Ravens for a better game in the AFC title.
It is kind of remarkable to think that of the 32 starting quarterbacks in the NFL, three of them have won championships as starters. Three of them.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes, Matthew Stafford, and the third one, your guy, Russell Wilson.
Well,
am I missing anybody?
Yeah.
Who?
Joe Flacco.
No, I said starting quarterbacks in the NFL.
I remember.
Don't play the Parson game.
I remember starting a guy starting versus the Giants and winning.
I know, but for the sake of that, starting quarterbacks in the NFL. And by the way, Russell Wilson may not even be one in the future. Like, we'll see what kind of job he gets next year, but it's a reminder that Mahomes and Brady have kind of CB'd the world, if you will.
Right.
Because they've won all the championships. There's not a lot of championships out there. CB isn't an appropriate word, right. So that's why if you're confused. Tommy will explain it to you in a whisper.
Gotcha.
They're being blocked, basically.
Go watch a movie with John Cena.
I got it. Never mind. I thought you meant cornerback.
No.
I have one question about this list, and then I'd like to solve the Marash puzzle here. My question is, where the hell is Joe Burrow? He could arguably be certainly one on the list.
That's a good point.
Joe Burrow could have been the MVP of the league, if you think about it, if their team didn't lose to the Patriots. That's number one, so that's an oversight, much like most of your list.
No, I would take all five of these guys over Burrow right now.
Okay, and number two here, and I'm surprised you haven't said it yet, to solve the Marash puzzle here, he left Hurts out, he left Dak out, he wants the Giants to trade for Justin Herbert, so he could say we have the number two quarterback in the division. Am I right?
I think the only
that
flaw,
was a fun sink. I'll see everybody later.
Yeah, I am right.
I think the only flaw with his list is probably Joe Burrow over Justin Herbert. The rest of it, I wouldn't include Jalen Hurts.
Oh, Burrow over Goff and Daniels.
I wouldn't put him over Jared Goff.
Jared Goff has been spectacular.
You would, yeah.
The last couple of years, he's been unbelievable.
He's been great.
But
you
got to put Burrow over Jaden Daniels.
I think Jaden Daniels and C.J. Stroud and both of the young quarterbacks.
It's too young to know.
Yeah, but I disagree with you,
Lugie.
Where I disagree is Dak Prescott's not a top five quarterback in the NFL.
No, but Dak Prescott's better than
I don't think Jalen Hurts is either.
Well, he's in that conversation. Well, they're interesting because they've had moments. Dak Prescott was second in the MVP race a couple years ago, right? Jalen Hurts should have been the second player behind Randy Grandishere to win a Super Bowl MVP without winning the Super Bowl. Because he had one bad play, literally one bad play, and it cost him a Super Bowl against the Kansas City Chiefs. So, they're there, but a lot of it is a product of what's surrounding them.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? And so, you can put them there, but it doesn't really feel like you could throw them on, I don't know, think of a team, the Jaguars or the Raiders. And he would turn them into a successful team.
Yeah, I think that.
Whereas you put Pat Mahomes on one of those teams.
Oh, changes.
Things will get better.
There are, to me, two tiers of elite quarterbacks. There's Pat Mahomes, who's number one. And you could give me all of his numbers this year. Doesn't matter. Right. 15-2. Right? Mm-hmm. I know statistically this is not his greatest year. But Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL. Period. Stop. End of sentence.
Yeah, because regardless of how the game goes, he's going to find a way to get close to or win.
Yeah. That's what the track record says, and he is right now three wins away from being an original. Three straight Super Bowl championships, it's never been done.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second tier to me is simply Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, and Joe Burrow. And then there's the drop-off, and we can argue 18 different names. You could argue Jared Goff, you could argue Justin Herbert, you could argue C.J. Stroud and Jaden Daniels.
Hurts,
but Jalen Hurts, all those guys, and it probably varies kind of year to year. But to me, those top guys is Pat Mahomes one, and then the three on that next tier is Burrow, Allen, and Jackson. Right. And here's what's daunting, and I guess good news for you guys. They're all in the AFC.
I know.
That's an intimidating thing.
But you know what's also frustrating about it is that I think there's another tier, actually. So there's the top two that you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's this little like sandwiched in really good veteran tier.
Right.
And that's Jared Goff and Matthew Stafford. And then you get to those other guys.
Right.
Right. So there is that little like, man, these guys can win a Super Bowl for you because they're veteran enough. They've experienced enough. They've been in the league for a while. One has already won one. One has been to one and lost, but and been to a championship game a year ago. So I think you got to put Jared Goff and Matt Stafford in another tier sub. It's like 2B.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And speaking of Jared Goff, I mean, if the Lions fulfill the expectations that are presented on them, they get to a Super Bowl, and dare I say win, mm-hmm. the discourse on Jared Goff come February
right.
will be far different than the discourse that we're having right now.
That's exactly the discourse that happened with Matt Stafford.
1,000%.
Matt Stafford was, I mean, a good but failed quarterback
because yes.
the Detroit Lions stunk for his entire career.
Yes.
And then you started to subtly hear other quarterbacks, the veteran guys like Peyton Manning and I'm trying to think of those other guys that were his contemporaries, Matt Ryan, et cetera, talk about how good of a quarterback Matt Stafford was. And we always kind of just sloughed him off because the Detroit Lions stunk. And then he gets to L.A. and he's fantastic
right.
and wins a Super Bowl. And then we all get it. Like, we come around to who Matt Stafford is. Jared, the same thing could happen to Jared Goff.
Yeah, now, Evan, real quickly, how bad do you think Justin Herbert is as a quarterback?
I have more confidence in Zach Wilson than I do Justin Herbert.
When did I say that?
Wow. Monday night, Chargers-Jets.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
We all know what happened. Obviously, the Jets lost that game. You were besmirching Herbert the entire right. game. But I don't think Herbert was good that night either, but
Zach. It wasn't even Herbert's fault. It was Brandon Staley's fault. Yeah. He had a bad head coach. Not even bad, but bad for him because Staley's a defensive guy that didn't really... who was it? Was it Kellen Moore?
Kellen Moore was the OC last year, yeah.
Last year, but before that, I forget even who it was. I forget who the coordinator was. Wisenhunt? No, it couldn't have been Wisenhunt. He's been not in high position. Whatever it was, he wasn't served well.
Right.
Right? It's kind of like the Trevor Lawrence issue.
Well, part of why I thought Herbert and the Chargers would win Sunday, one Joe of my Lombardi, two losses, right. was believing Jim Harbaugh was going to be the difference, like he was for Alex Smith and like he was for Colin Kaepernick. Now, it's not over yet. This was only year one with him.
Yeah.
But obviously, Saturday was a massive disappointment. And I don't know what drug I was on that led me to say I had more confidence right. in Zach Wilson than Justin Herbert.
By the way, it was Joe Lombardi. Right. It was Kellen Moore, then Joe Lombardi. But wasn't there someone before Joe Lombardi as well? I feel like he's had three coordinators. I might be wrong about that, but I feel like he's had a bunch of offensive coordinators.
Now, I want you to do me a favor, Sean. I want you to grab the L, okay? Not for you, but for me. Because Robin Patchogue says, I just made a major mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And if we deem this major mistake major enough, I will, in fact, wear the L for the rest of the program.
Okay.
So, ladies and gentlemen, Robin Patchogue, do you think my mistake was L-wearing worthy?
Evan, put the L on now, man. You said three-quarter starting quarterbacks in the NFL have won a Super Bowl. You forgot one on your own starting team, Aaron Rodgers.
Oh,
won a
my
Super
God!
Bowl.
Get the L!
Wow.
Get the L in! He's right, Brad. That's a bad one. And how do you guys not correct me?
Because it was so long ago, we've forgotten.
It's so long ago. He's so right. Because I'm thinking,
wow,
all right.
How the heck did we all forget that?
That is L-worthy. I'm thinking, all right, Mahomes has won the last two. Stafford, Brady, Mahomes, Brady, Foles, Brady, Manning, Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Joe Flacco, who's not a starter. And I'm like, all right, I think I got it, right? Eli Manning. But he's right. If you go back 1 year earlier to 2010, you have Aaron Rodgers.
No.
I got to wear the L for that.
Yeah, here we go.
You guys didn't even have to outvote me. Put the L around my neck.
This is why we have amazing listeners here on WFAN, because they call and hold us accountable.
And the key word, Evan, Tiki, is listening.
Yes,
we didn't listening. Hear it.
We didn't hear it. Everybody else did. Evan Roberts, you are hereby presented with the L.
You know what's funny? What does my sweatshirt say today?
I'm a loser.
I'm a loser.
So do I even need the L?
Yes, you definitely need the
L. I'm a loser.
I'm wearing the L. I'm already wearing a shirt that says I'm a loser. That's a great call. What are you, like, fixing my L?
He's choking me. He's choking me. Okay.
Oh, all right, thank you. Oh, my God.
All right, Evan, you will wear the L for the rest of the week.
Enjoy. No, I didn't say rest of the week. I said the rest of the day.
Well, what I thought we decided as a show, when you wear the L, you wear it for the entire week. Am I wrong on that?
No,
that was just for show.
Oh, got it.
It's a case-by-case basis. And I did admit before we went to the phone call, if this is worthy of an L, I'll wear it. And
right.
it definitely was. So that means, forgetting Joe Flacco, so let's kind of figure this out, there are four starting quarterbacks, or three starting quarterbacks, in the NFL who have won Super Bowl championships. Patrick Mahomes, Matthew Stafford, Russell Wilson, and Aaron Rodgers. So there's four.
Yeah.
That, by the way, that still is an insanely small list when you think about it. When in NFL history have we only had four starting quarterbacks of the 32 teams that have won a championship?
Not a lot, but it happens because there's so many double uppers.
Yeah.
Guys, you know, Pat Mahomes basically and Tom Brady. And by the way, I was right about Justin Herbert. This is his fifth year. He's had four offensive coordinators.
Yeah, that's
crazy. James Steichen was his rookie year, then Joe Lombardi, then Kellen Moore, and now this year it's Greg Roman. Four offensive coordinators in 5 years. And what do I always say about that?
That'll screw up a quarterback.
It'll ruin and screw up a quarterback. Somehow he had a very successful season this year, except for the postseason. But, man, he's actually an anomaly.
Yeah.
Because when you have that much change, it is hard to get any kind of consistency.
Let's go to Dante in East Brunswick. How are you, Dante?
Good, good. How's everything doing? To circle back to that A.J. Brown thing, I was watching the Craig Carton show this morning, and they were crushing him. They were saying, him and Greg Jennings were basically saying the only reason he was reading the book was because he had one catch for 10 yards.
No, you're right. He was probably messed. He was pissed off. He had no targets.
So then, later on in the day, I followed Jahan Dotson on Instagram, and Jahan Dotson reposted that clip.
No, he didn't.
Show, and then he posts a couple pictures from him
really?
And the Redskins early in the year.
Well, hold on. So Jahan Dotson retweeted Craig's show of them ripping A.J. Brown? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, ripping. Yeah, he was ripping A.J. Brown.
That's good publicity for Craig, which is good for him. Hold
wow.
on. Now I'm looking at this. Hold on a second.
Why would Jahan Dotson do that? Did they defend him on Craig's show, or did they completely trash him?
No, no, he's saying that they ripped. Oh, knowing Craig, it killed A.J. Brown. He hates the Eagles.
I know, but my point is, why would Jahan Dotson, who had basically one good game this year, and that was because A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith didn't play, and Tanner McKee, game we called at the end of the regular season against the Giants, started, and he had like 6-7 catches or whatever.
I think the guys are probably ripping A.J. Brown.
But why?
Why would you rip your teammate? I don't know if it's good-natured ribbing or if it's this guy's a clown ribbing. Like, there's a difference between the two because, you know, I even asked you earlier when I said, hey, what would you do if, like, Amani Toomer was reading a book? And you're like, yeah, we'd be making fun of him.
Right. What the hell are you doing?
Now, I don't know the difference between teammate, we're just ribbing him, that's what he does, versus, hey, this guy's a selfish player.
I got the dots and stuff. So what he did was he showed A.J. on the sidelines reading a book in a game that he had like 9 catches for 97 yards on a touchdown, meaning he'll read the book whether he's playing bad or not.
So that's defending him.
So he's defending A.J. Brown. Absolutely.
Yeah. The problem with
some of them, because they were saying on Craig's show
correct.
That the only reason he was reading the book was because he had one catch on 3 targets.
See, the problem with all this is we only know what they show us.
Yeah. True.
Okay.
But I did two Eagles games.
Well, did you notice him reading on the sidelines?
No.
Or were you even looking for it?
He wasn't playing in the last one. But in the first one, that was the Jags game where Saquon jumped over what's his name's head backwards. We didn't see it.
Right.
I think we would have noticed it. We didn't see it, though.
Well, see, that's the real question. Like, we only know what we're shown or when we're looking for something.
Right.
Like, it's possible that A.J. Brown literally has the book, as he's claimed, on the sidelines all the time. And if that's the case, then the idea that he's only reading it because he didn't get targets is patently untrue.
Right. But
we don't know.
It looks like it's a worn-out book.
Right.
I mean, it's paperback, and it's all, like, crumpled, like he's been reading it multiple times. And so I'm sure he is reading it. I've just never seen it.
You know, it's funny. I don't read
regular. Jalen Hurts has never seen it.
I don't read regular books anymore. Everything's digital now. Mm-hmm. It's like, why carry around a book when you can have it on your tablet and you pull it up and you read it?
There's something so much better about having an actual book.
Is it?
How do you not agree with that?
Because there's something about, like, the responsibility of either losing the book or losing the page you're on, which when you read it digitally is so much easier.
Yeah, an author of a book be saying this?
Why? You can buy my book. Can you buy it digitally? Oh,
yeah.
Screw it.
Yeah, you can.
Please buy My Mets Bible wherever you buy books. And there's an audio book, too.
And there's a paperback book.
Yeah. By the way, I apologize. We need to take this phone call because it's labeled as, I have a way for Evan to pass the L to Tiki.
All right, let's go.
So I like that. Josh in Sheepshead Bay, how can I pass this wooden L to Tiki Barber?
What's up, Josh?
I will tell you right now. So, speaking of quarterbacks, so Tiki said that not a lot of quarterbacks have done well playing under many offensive coordinators, but take a look at none other than Sam Darnold.
I can't hand him an L for that. Thank you, though. Like, Tiki's the one who told us Sam was going to have a good year. How could I possibly spin that into, see, here's a guy who's done well with 18 offensive coordinators?
If my face was an emoji, you'd get the face palm right now. Oh, God.
I do appreciate the effort by Josh.
I'm going to ask him to go back to the beginning of this football season, find the Odyssey on the Odyssey app, and find the show where I put over Sam Darnold.
He did.
You know why Sam Darnold has sucked? Because every team he was on failed him. The one team that didn't was Kevin O'Connell's Minnesota Vikings, and I'm claiming it because I called it at the end of August.
And the reason he's only getting it now would be because of offensive coordinator and offensive system turnover.
Right.
While I really appreciate...
And by the way, Sam Darnold's been on four teams.
No, exactly.
Justin Herbert is still a Charger. And he had four coordinators in 5 years.
I can promise Josh this, and I promise the audience this. There will be a day where Tiki Barber will wear this out.
It will not be on football.
Yeah, when Shador Sanders wins 11 games for the Giants next year.
It may not be football related. I don't know when or what it will be. Unfortunately, today is not the day. Now, if we made Tiki hold L's for every time he got an NFL pick wrong with our NFL picks, we'd be in better business.
You know, I work for the NFL, basically, so I'm not supposed to be good at this.
And here's the other thing about Tiki. Tiki finishing in last place in our NFL picks has allowed him to take the booby prize, which is selling Tommy Lugauer anti-Jalen Brunson t-shirts outside of a Knicks game. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's all set. I think we're dotting the I's and we're crossing the T's. Evan and Tiki, live, 1 week from tomorrow, at Barclays Center for Knicks versus Nets. And you know what may happen prior to that game? You may get an opportunity to buy an anti-Jalen Brunson t-shirt from Tommy Lugauer's Twitter account, courtesy of Tiki Barber.
I cannot wait. And in fact, I'm going to try to get one to Jalen Brunson himself.
How about that? We'll make our pick for tonight's game, Rams-Vikings, a game you will hear right here on WFAN. But I have told you, to me, Shador Sanders will end up forcing his way to the New York Giants. Mm-hmm. And we have more evidence of that because Deion Sanders did an interview with Tamron Hall on Friday. And I listened to the whole thing.
Oh, I know Tamron.
You know Tamron?
Yes, we went to NBC together.
Look at that. Well, Tamron did a hell of an interview with Deion Sanders, and in said interview, Deion Sanders said this about his son's playing future.
Have you told him privately who you would like for him to play for?
It's not like that. Okay. Like, it's not like who I would like for him to play for. It's a couple teams that I won't allow him to play for. So it's not like that. But this is my profession. I know what's behind the curtain. We ain't got to get back there for me to understand what's behind the curtain and what's not prominent for my son. I'm not doing it.
And if he doesn't listen to you?
Who? 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 Oh, yeah. You must mean owners, like, not my son. Like, my son knows my voice and he understands that I've done this and done that. Like, my kids respect their father because they know their father ain't perfect, but their father's always been present.
So Deion Sanders has told the world, if you're listening, he's not going to force his way to one team, but he's going to tell his son where he doesn't want them to go.
Right.
And while he didn't name anybody specifically, I think we can all play the game together.
Cleveland?
He doesn't want his son in Cleveland, and I'm not sure he's going to want his son in Tennessee.
Tennessee is a little bit different, only because Brian Callahan could be a good coach for him as a quarterback, as a offensive-minded guy who, I forget who their coordinator is down there, but they probably, I think, he could be okay for him.
Well, who's their general manager?
I don't even know.
They don't have one.
They just fired him. Right. And Deion talks about he knows how the sausage is made. I think that he probably looks at Tennessee and looks at Cleveland and says, I know how that sausage is made. Like, that's what I'm surmising from this. So it's
Tennessee is not that far removed from having some pretty decent success, right?
But didn't they just fire their general manager after 5 minutes?
Yeah.
Does that feel like a functioning, smart organization?
No, but I mean, who was their general? I don't even know.
Oh, Grant Carthon.
Yeah. And Deion did tweet when that happened, two eyeball emojis.
Right.
I'm putting the sausages together, as Deion says. Like, I don't think he's going to want his son. And I love how he's laughing when she said, well, will they listen? And he's like, my son is going to listen.
Right.
Now, the owners may not listen. Because, like, one thing about John Elway and Eli Manning is that ultimately the Baltimore Colts and the San Diego Chargers could have dared them. Now, they chose not to. They chose, you know what, we're not going to go down that road. Right. So it's possible that the Cleveland Browns dare Deion and Shador. But I think the signs are there that Deion Sanders is going to tell his son there are places you don't want to go. And I do believe two of the teams, definitely one, but maybe both of the teams selecting ahead of the New York Giants are on that list. You guys are getting Shador Sanders.
I tend to agree with you. I think they're going to obviously add a veteran first, but I'm getting to the point where I'm like 85% sure Shador Sanders is a Giants quarterback.
Well, you're not where I'm at, because I'm at 99.9%. Oh, it's a done deal.
I just think there's
still... You can feel it. You can feel everything about this. And the symmetry of every 21 years, a quarterback forces his way. It's just, it's all lining up. The smile Joe Shane had when he was asked about Shador and Malik Nabers catching passes together. It's just...
No, I don't deny the Giants' interest. Here's the only thing I'd fight back with you on, and I get it. The Titans don't have anything yet. If the Titans elect to select him, I don't know that that's as big a dysfunctional scenario as the Browns. And then I think the Browns would take Cam Ward, and I think the Giants are phased out. If the Titans take Cam Ward, no way is Shador allowing him to be a Cleveland Browns quarterback. No way.
No way is Deion allowing him
right,
to be
a quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, I get the sense Deion's telling you without telling you yet. Now, I think that we've got time. We've got 4.5 months. As we get closer, I think he'll be more specific. But I think right now, in the middle of January, he's playing the day. He's dancing a little bit. Like, I'm not going to say,
right.
But understand I have the power.
And
That's what he says in that interview. Like, understand we're going to call the shots around
and
here.
I want to encourage every Browns fan who might be listening right now, maybe you are, don't worry. When one Shador closes, another one opens. We'll take your quarterback.
You're waiting for that one.
I think I actually
could. You could wait to throw that one out there.
Yeah. So do you buy it? Think Deion's going to force his way to New York, baby?
I don't know. I mean, the Cleveland Browns have been terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But they've actually have some good coaching and have some good pieces on that team. You know what I mean?
So who's he referring to?
I don't know. I don't know.
Because I think that...
I think about their head coach in Stefanski, who's a good head coach when he's had good quarterbacking. And... Baker Mayfield and you know others. Like, he's been okay when he's had good quarterbacks. Brian Callahan, I mean, he was offensive coordinator, and I know he didn't call plays, but he was an integral part of Zach Taylor's staff when Cincinnati, with Joe Burrow, went to the Super Bowl. So, like, I don't know what he's referring to specifically unless there's somebody in specifically who he doesn't like on one of those top two teams.
Well, I'll say this. Obviously, the Browns have made the playoffs, I think, twice since then. Mm-hmm. But the tweet that has gone crazy, March 13th, 2018, from Deion Sanders. I love what the Browns have done this offseason, but if I'm a young QB, ain't no way I'm going to Cleveland. I would pull an Eli Manning if possible. Hashtag think about that. Hashtag truth.
And that has nothing to do with the coaching staff.
No, it's just the idea of Browns.
Or the general manager. It's the Browns and the environment and the fact that he thinks it's too small of a market for his kid.
And he probably doesn't want the last name Sanders being remembered on that dumb jersey with 50 quarterbacks listed and being an embarrassment forever.
7 years later, the sentiment may be the same.
Yeah.
And I do believe it is, which is why I know we're going to spend a lot of time talking about it, but I am telling you right now, I will wear the L for a week.
Ooh.
If Shador Sanders is not the next quarterback of the New York Football Giants.
5:44 p.m., January 13th.
I'm wearing the L right now. It's very uncomfortable, but I'm doing it because of this Aaron Rodgers mistake that I recently made. But I will commit to a full week of it. I'm that confident this Shador Sanders thing is happening.
I think you might be wearing that L. I think you might be. I think the Raiders are going to trade up.
That's right. It's a good point.
Get Shador.
Cam Ward is going to go to the Browns, and then John Mara is going to receive a phone call from Eli Manning and is going to say, Jackson Dart out of Ole Miss, that's your guy, and they draft Dart at three.
So if they don't draft Jackson Dart at three, you're wearing it out
I'm
for
wearing
a week.
2 weeks.
2 weeks of L's?
You want to go 2 weeks? I'll go 2 weeks.
At three?
At three.
So the Giants...
Shador won, though. Shador won, Raiders, right. Cam Ward, Browns, because I don't think Cam Ward's going to have any say in that.
Right.
And then... Jackson Dart, Eli Manning connection, Ole Miss.
So you're telling me, as I want to make this clear,
yeah.
Jackson Dart has to be selected at three by the New York Giants.
Selected at three by
if
the Giants.
If that doesn't happen, you're going to wear this beautiful L for 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Okay. That'll be a tough time for you, because that's right around the time the Knicks get knocked out of the postseason. So it's going to be a very rough time.
So I'll be wearing it, a month, whatever. And then you have to wear it, though, on the record, if Shador doesn't go to the Giants, period, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter where.
Okay. Yeah, no doubt about it. Done. It's on the line. Now let's make our pick for tonight's game, and then we'll get to your calls. Our picks are brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the NFL and the New York Giants. Bud Light, easy to Sunday, easy to enjoy, by Elec A25, Building Our Future, and by Samwell Institute for Pain Management. Visit SamwellPain.com. I went 3-2 over the weekend, got the Raven game right, the Bill game right, the Eagle game right, Tampa game wrong, Charger game wrong. Loogie had a 4-1 weekend. He got the Texan game right, Raven game right, Bill game right, Eagle game right, Tampa game wrong. Tiki 1-4. Everything wrong but the Eagle game. Sean went 3-2. He got the Eagle game, the Bill game, and the Texan game. Now, on Friday, I accepted a challenge as the champion of the afternoon show, the regular season champion. I accepted a challenge from the champion of the midday show, Sal Licata. And we negotiated over the weekend, and we have agreed to a World Series of sorts of postseason NFL picks. The loser has to wear a T-shirt with the other person's face on it that says NFL Pick Champion. So if I lose, I'm going to have Sal Licata's face on my stomach for a week, with him being referred to as champion. And if I win, Sal has to do the same.
Are you getting 5 shirts?
I guess he just has to wash it every day. That's the rule. By the way, in terms of head-to-head, there were 5 games. 3 of the 5 we picked the same on. The 2 games we went head-to-head on, we split. Okay? I took the Chargers. He took the Texans. He got a win in that. I took the Ravens, he took the Steelers, he got a loss in that, so we both are 3-2 and we're tied up going into Monday Night Football. With all of that said, let's kick this off. The spread I have is the Rams getting 2.5 points in Glendale, Arizona against the Minnesota Vikings. We'll start it off with Tommy Lugauer. Tommy?
So this line, when the game was going to be played in Los Angeles, I think it was like 1.5, and it moved to 2.5 on a neutral field, which is puzzling to me. And Teak brought it up with the Chargers not having fans. The Rams don't exactly have a lot of fans either, so they're almost playing road games at home. So I don't understand why a neutral field, they would give more points to the Vikings.
And their fans are definitely not traveling.
Right. So that makes no sense to me at all. I like the Rams no matter what. I think they win the game outright. I think you have the better head coach. I think you have the better quarterback. You could even argue they have the better receiving core, although it's very, very close. Obviously, Justin Jefferson's amazing, but Puka and Kupp are awesome. So I'm going to take the Rams in this spot because I just think they have the better head coach and better quarterback for sure. And I have this sneaky suspicion that Evan has correctly predicted the Super Bowl. I think, my friend, you have gotten it, nailed it. Chiefs-Rams.
That was my preseason in August prediction. I'm still alive with a Rams-Chiefs Super Bowl. Thank you. We'll see if I pull that off. Tiki Barber, your pick for tonight's game.
I'm going to go with the Minnesota Vikings. I got to be right on my Sam Darnold prediction. They win by a field goal, which covers the number.
It would cover the number. Sean Morash.
Remember this about Week 18. Sean McVay elected to call off the dogs and play Jimmy Garoppolo versus the Seattle Seahawks. He did that bringing on the challenge of the loser of the Vikings-Lions. He wanted this matchup. Otherwise, he would have gotten the Commanders at home. Maybe they're already home, the Rams. If you call your shot as a Super Bowl-winning coach, I'm going to lean that you're going to be right. Give me the Rams to win the game outright tonight in Arizona.
So, here's what this comes down to. It comes down to quarterback play. And the quarterback play of Sam Darnold is not just a playoff game in Glendale, Arizona. It's not just the Vikings' hopes of turning this wonderful regular season into a Super Bowl run. The quarterback play of Sam Darnold will determine everything about his free agency, his future with Minnesota, and his future in the National Football League. This is such an important game for Sam Darnold. So what do you think is going to happen? I think Sam Darnold is going to be absolutely exposed. And we saw a little preview of that on Sunday night against Aaron Glenn's well-coached Detroit Lion defense. See, I think tonight Sam Darnold, despite the wonderful regular season he had, correctly predicted by Tiki Barber, despite all the success he had under Kevin O'Connell, tonight is the night where Sam Darnold goes back to being a pumpkin. Tonight is the night where the NFL discussion, whether on social media, whether in text chats, will be about, see, I told you, stinks. Tonight, it will be all about Sam Darnold. Now, I don't think it's going to be easy, because one thing about the Rams offense, they're not putting up 40 a night. So I think this is going to be low scoring. I think it's going to be ugly. But I think this will be defined by Sam Darnold mistakes. And the Rams will win a close game by a field goal late.